Hey, let's start at the top of Membud Amud Aleph, by the 2, 4, 5 lines down, Tanya Yidoch. I think we're discussing Balashur Naki. What do we do with this term in the Torah? It says Balashur Naki when it comes to a Tam that's killed. Right? What's the indication, what's the necessity for the term of Balashur Naki? So you have a Tanya Yidoch, one of the brights that says Balashur Naki, Rabbi Yossi Aguil Omer, Naki Mitmei Valadot. It is exempted from paying a Tmei Valadot, which is if somehow the animal gored a woman and she miscarried, right? Those, what she miscarried for the value, quote unquote, of the miscarriage, he does not have to compensate for. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, Harihu Omer. Why do I need such a pasuk to teach me this? It says in the pasuk, Kienutsu Nanashim, when two men are fighting. When two men are fighting, and then they end up, one of them goes to hit the other one and hits the woman instead and causes her to miscarry. So it says over there, or the limud at least, is anashim velo shvarim. Right? So that only men are culpable or chayav when it comes to causing a miscarriage, not shvarim. So then what do I need of Alashur Naki? They're already precluded from the parsha of the Mei Vladot because of the pasuk, ki natsu anashim velo shvarim. So when it says, Shafir kamar Rabbi Kiva. He has a pretty good claim. You know, what's Rabbi Yossi even going to do with this? Samarav ulo breit ravidi istrich. I need it. Why? It's anashim and not shvarim that look like men. What's this? Ma'anashim mu'adim, ashvarim mu'adim. Right. So that when do we say, or what's the exclusion for shvarim is only when they look like an ish. When do they look like ish? We know that Adam is mu'ad olam. So also assure that his mu'ad will be precluded from the parsha of Mevel Adol. Implicit in that, or right, the outcome of such a drasha would be hatam mechayev. Right, so that otherwise Achatam would be chayav, was not excluded from that limud in the parsha. Because of Rachmana, Balashur Naki is a patur, and that's what Balashur Naki comes along to do, is to be patur to mei valo dos by a tam. So of course the question, Amar Rava, Tziva ba'ara, b'girah, b'shmei shmaya. Right, what's the what type of a thing is this? That you're going to have a mu'ad that is patur, and you would think that a tam is chayav, and that's where you need Balashur Naki. Right, this is crazy. How could you have such a concept of a mu'ad being more cow than a tam? El amarova itzrich. You need it. Zaka dat chamina on the shim velo shvarim hadomim lanashim. Ma'anashim mu'adim af shvarim mu'adim. So true, I would have gone with the same limud that was. It has to be people just like, right? Shvarim, just like people. People are mu'ad olam, so to shvarim. Ve kal v'chomer l'tamim tibtirei. Once they know that a mu'ad is patur, then kal v'chomer that a tam should be patur. Then I don't need Balashur Naki. Havdar Katav Rachmana, Balashur Naki. Then what's the purpose of writing Balashur Naki? Right now we're at the point where we say we have this Pasuk Kinan Tunashim that tells me that people are Chayav for Tmeis Valadot. Animals are not Chayav for Tmeis Valadot. What type of animals are not Chayav for Tmeis Valadot? There was a Mu'adim, just like Mu'adim of people. What about Tom? Tom's a Kavachomer. But Mu'ad's Pasuk for Tmeis Valadot, certainly a Tom is Pasuk. So now I have the Pasuk of Balashur Naki. What do I need it for? Well, everybody's Pasuk already. That's what the Gemara says. Balashur Naki, Tam Patur, Umad Chayav. That's exactly what it comes to teach you. It comes to teach you, you have to make a deal. When it says Balashur Naki, means that Tam is Patur, means Beit Valadot, and not a Muad. Don't make that previous structure that you made, right? That the only one who is Patur from Beit Valadot is a Tam, and not a Muad. Muad would be Chayav by Beit Valadot. Says, Amalei Abaye, Elamiata, Gavi Boshet, Nami. If that's the case, say the same thing by Boshet. You have the exact same limud by Boshet. Anashim v'lo shvarim. Because by Boshet, where do we learn the Parsha of Boshet out? We also learn from the Parsha of Chin and Tzu Anashim Yachtav, Ish v'chavi Achiv, right? Two men are fighting, it's in Sefer Dvarim, right? Parsha Kitese. Then one of the men's wives comes along to protect him. So she goes ahead and Ve'achzik v'mevushav, right? She grabs onto the private parts of the other individual, and there, from there we learn that the woman is Chayav, or Chayavet, in Boshet. The embarrassment that she caused, assuming that she could have saved her husband in another manner, she's chayevet for boshet in that instance. Over there, again, we have anashim velo shvarim. So if you're going to make the same drusha that we made over here, you should do the exact same thing that we did by Dmei Valadot to boshet. And what is that? So here we go. Here we go. We do the limud again. Name off anashim velo shvarim. Hadomim l'anashim. Ma'anashim mu'adim. Just like people, Adam is always mu'ad olam. Ashvarim mu'adim. So also ashur mu'ad will be precluded or excluded from the parsha of boshet. Bekal v'chomer l'tamim. Right? That's tiri. Then if you have kal v'chomer to a tam, that's certainly from mu'ad's patur and boshet, then certainly a tam is patur by boshet. Hazar kadav rachmano balashur naki. Then what do you need balashur naki for? Right, what are you going to exclude? So tam patur, umad chayav. That's a tishu of tam is patur. Muad is chayav. That would indicate that what? That a muad would be chayav in tmei vladot and be chayav in boshet. So Rav says, well, chitem alpanami. Why not? So sure. Go ahead. Rav Yosef Lili will say that a shor muad is chayav in boshet and in chayav in tmei vladot and a tam is patur. Why not say that? Yochid litnei ba shor naki. So why not then the bright is missing a key element? When the Brisa says the Bala Shur Naki Tan Yidach, Bala Shur Naki, Rabbi Yosef Liomer, Naki, he should say, Rabbi Yosef Liomer, Patur, Mitmei Vladot, Umi Boshet. He should have mentioned both items. Why is he only mentioning Mitmei Vladot and not Boshet? If they both weren't from the same exact type of Limud, then Shosadim should have mentioned the Brisa. Elo Baye, Virovo, De Amre, Tervayo. This is the Limud that you need to use, like this. Anashim, Ein, Atson, Bisha, Yeanshu. Right, so this has got to do with the fight, the original case that we talked about, which is two men are fighting. By accident, one of them hits a woman. And when by accident, one of them hits a woman, there are different outcomes. The one possibility, he hits the woman and she dies. The other outcome is that he hits the woman and she's only either injured, right, or nothing happens to her and she just miscarries. So this is what the Gemara says. Anashim einatzon b'isha yanshu. Right? If the, between the men when they're fighting and they hit the woman and she's not killed by the blow, then they are yanshu. They'll pay for the dmei vladot. Why? Because there's no kimlei mizrabi mine. She's not dead. She's not dead. There's no kimlei mizrabi mine. It means that they are chayav for any nezik they caused. One of the parts of nezik that they caused was dmei vladot. Yesha son bisha. On the other hand, if the woman does die, then we have a problem of kimlei mizrabi mine. And therefore, lo yanshu. Right? So there, they will not be punished. They will not have to pay money. Why? Because not because they're patur from the money, but because they've kimlei d'rabbi minei, and therefore we won't punish them. We won't ask them to pay in an instance where they're going to lose their lives. The lo shvarim, right? And that, we're going to say from that, we preclude lo shvarim. The apagav d'yesh ason, yanshu. That what? The apagav here would be that even if there's a death caused by the shor, even if the death, right now we distinguished for a person between whether the woman is killed or the woman is not killed. When the woman is killed, there is no payment. When the woman is not killed, then there is payment because there's no kimlei derabim mine. By sure, we're going to say it's irrelevant. That's what it means, anashim velo shvarim. That's only true by people, that we make such a distinction between the woman being killed and the woman not being killed. By shvarim, we will make no such distinction. And therefore, ashur will be chayav in all instances, whether the woman dies or not. You'll be chayav if it's made vladot. Along comes the pasuk, hadar katav rachmana, bala shur naki, dipatur. That's what bala shur naki comes to teach you, that by a tam, right, if the woman is killed, then what? You are patur. You're patur from the Dmei Vladot in that instance, because we have the pasuk called Bala Shur Naki, and that's what it means. Tani Yidach, Bala Shur Naki, Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Omer, Naki mit Dmei Vladot. What's the instance where he's Dmei, Naki mit Dmei Vladot? What is that case? It's the case where we have a Shur Tam that kills a woman. When he's killing the woman, it also happens to be that she's Mayfield, right? That she also was, either she was carrying a child, she had some child in her, or she was Mayfield, she had a miscarriage. At the time, they will not, the Baal HaShur will not be responsible for the Dmei Vladot, because he's quote unquote responsible for the Mita of the woman, and the Shur will be put to death.
Or if someone doesn't die.
Right, he will be, right. In that case, in the case where she.
Yes, by Shur, makes no difference.
Right, by Shur should make no difference, right.
But then what does Rabbi Akiva say?
What do you mean? Rabbi Akiva says, I could have learned it out. Anashim b'lo shvarim, right? So that's what Rabbi Yosef Lili says. I have anashim b'lo shvarim, but my anashim b'lo shvarim is teaching me that I would have been chayav in this case. That's exactly, he's responding to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, I have anashim b'lo shvarim. I already know that mei b'latot are patur. So Rabbi Yosef Lili says, that's not true because I would have known something else. I would have learned a different way. If you formulate the limud from anashim to shvarim differently, you would end up them being chayav, and therefore I need b'lo shur naki. So Rabbi Akiva looks at that simply. It says, mei b'latot, I am chayav by a man, so lo shvarim means I should be patur. Rabbi Yosef Lili says it's much more complicated than that. By anashim, there's different instances where you'll be chayav and patur, and I could formulate, you could come to think that it says anashim lo shvarim means anashim are chayav in some instances, patur in other instances, and the shur will be chayav in all instances. That wasn't mean lo shvarim. When you exclude them from man, it could be not to exclude them from being man is chayav, shur is patur, like Rabbi Akiva, but rather man is chayav and patur, and shur is chayav all the time. That already makes a distinction between shur and adam. So comes along Bashur and Naki to tell you no. Even in that instance, the shur will be patur. And that's what Rabbi Yosef Lili does.
So you agree that man is sometimes chayav, sometimes patur?
Rabbi Kiva does agree to that principle. He won't learn. He learns it simply. Look, on Hashem, we're talking about Chiyuv to Mezal Adot, and if not, Patur to Mezal Adot. And I think the way Rabbi Kiva would learn this simply is that we're not looking at the case where they're Patur to Mezal Adot, because that's not what's relevant in the puzzle. What's relevant in the puzzle is the case where he is Chayav on the Mezal Adot. In that case, he's saying Hashem below Shvarim. Rabbi Yossi is expanding. Rabbi Yossi is expanding it to say, when we say here on Hashem, it means all cases that are included in this situation. Now we're going to even challenge that. Matri Flor Ravada Baravo. Is it really true that the only thing, the determining factor about whether he pays the Mevel Adot or not is whether the woman is killed or not killed? Is that really true? Right? It's Bekavana Talyamilsa. It has to do with the intent of the, what? Intent of the animal, the intent of the individual. Why is that? So this is a principle that we learned from Rabbi Shimon. We had actually, before we had Rabbi Shimon, we had time of the Beit Chizkiya. Earlier on, we had the concept of time of the Beit Chizkiya says, it doesn't matter by when you kill somebody, whether it's bimitzkavein or enomitzkavein, amonet, veratzon, all these things, in any case, you are patur mimamon. The kimli derabim protects you, no matter how the death or how the killing came about. That is the position of Tanya Bechizkia. We saw that earlier in the Masechta. That we don't hold by, but rather, right, Rabbi Adarabim said holds by Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon believed that the case where a person is kaven arogezeh, he intended to kill one individual, and he killed someone else. In that case, what? You're patur mimisa, and you'll be chayav for the money. You'll be chayav for the mevel adot in this case. So what's our case here? Our case here is two men are fighting, and one man running after the other guy is going to kill him, right? And instead of hitting him, he ends up hitting a woman. That's what's called nisabin lezeh. He intended for this man, right? He ends up haragazeh. He kills the woman instead. In that case, Rabbi Shimon says, you are patur mimisa. You don't get misa, and you'll be chayav for the mitzvah of adot because there is no kimlei derabim minei. So despite the fact that there's an atzom, despite the fact that the woman is killed, right, there is still a payment of the mitzvah of adot. So Rabbi Rav says, how can you make such a distinction of it's got to do with atzom and not atzom? That's not always true. Even in the case of atzom, there's still a case where he's going to pay the mitzvah of adot. That's when I have his kavin lezeh, so his kavin lezeh. So, you have to formulate like this for Rabbi Yosef Galili. Anashim kinit kavnu zelazeh. When a man intends for the other man, afa v'yishit atzon b'isha yenshu. Right? Even when the woman is killed in this instance, they will pay the demei v'ladot. They are chayavim. Right? Because he's going to be chayav. Demei v'ladot, he's going to be chayav out of the three possible cases. What are the three possible cases? Three possible cases are this. One, he intends to kill the woman and he kills her. In that case, he's going to be patur demei v'ladot. The other two possibilities are, he intends for the man he's chasing, and he kills the woman, or he injures the woman. In either of those two instances, he's going to be chayav in Tmei Bladot, because he's not going to be chayav nita. So this is the way Rabbi the Rabbi comes from. The kinit kavnu zelazeh, apagav sheshet, don't be isha ye'anshu. Right, that only when they don't intend for the woman, he's going to pay Tmei Bladot no matter what. Kinat kavnu li isha tzma, if he intends to good for this woman, lo ye'anshu. Then you won't pay for Tmei Bladot. Avav lo shvarim. By Shemarim, it won't matter. The feeling is Kabbalah Isha, even if the Shor intends to go after this woman, right? Atma Yanshu, they'll still get punished. So that would be what? By Anashim, you at least have added the three cases. One case, he is Patur. And we'll say Anashim below Shemarim, that in Shemarim will be Chayab in all three of those cases. Whether the Shor intended to kill the woman, whether the Shor intended to kill another person and then ended up killing the woman, or whether the Shor does Nezek to the woman, if she's made full to Mezbalah Dosh, you're going to have to pay for them in all three of those instances. That's Anashim below Shemarim. Comes on the puzzle, comes on Rahmana Balashranaki. That's the puzzle Balashranaki comes to teach you that what? Dibsiris. That a Tam, when it comes to the Mevel Adot, is Patur. Right? In all three cases, he'll be Patur because, right? Because that's the limud of Balashranaki. That's exactly what it teaches us. We wouldn't have been able to learn that from Hashim Balashvarim because we've got the opposite. So this comes along and teaches us Patur. That by the Mevel Adot, a Tam is Patur. When Rabchagi came up from the south, he brought a braisa with him, kavati de Ravada Bravo. It learns like Ravada Bravo that the issue or the mokeid was kavana, not asum. Right now, Tanidah, again, we're going to, another braisa that discusses this issue of Bala Shurneki. But this time, Rabbi Kiva is the author of the braisa, and Rabbi Kiva is going to have a limud with Bala Shurneki. So the Tanidah, Bala Shurneki, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Naki mit Dmei Eved. He's patur for paying the Dmei Eved. So what's going on over here? And name Rabbi Akiva Lanafshe. Well, Rabbi Akiva, who before questioned the position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, right, when it came to, right, darshaning on Bava Shunaki, and also before on the first Brisa, he questioned the position of Rabbi Eliezer about Bava Shunaki, right? Halohu atzmai mishtamel le migufo. Right, Rabbi Kiva said before, when Rabbi Eliezer suggested that you should be patur from chatzi kofer based on Bala Shor Naki, Rabbi Kiva says, what do you need Bala Shor Naki from? How do you pay Tom, always pays me, gufo? What can he say to him? He can say to him, listen, you're right, I owe you kofer, I owe you chatzi kofer, come and collect, it's right here. My dead shore is right here. I did pay it, it's other bano, go ahead and take it, it's worthless. If it's worthless, right, then there's no way you can pay back to Kofa. That's what Rabbi Kiva's claim before. Gemara says, well, Rabbi Kiva all of a sudden now has the drusha out of Bava Shor Naki. Let him say the same thing to himself. The name of Rabbi Akiva Lenachshei, Halo Atmo Eimish Dalam Elimi Gufo. Right? How do you pay? How does the Tom pay? He pays me Gufo. So here you come. He kills an Eved Nani. And all of a sudden the owner of the Eved Nani comes and says, pay me my 30 sela. I pay me my 30 shekel that you owe me. Says, sure, go ahead. It's right here. The dead shore is right here. It's up for Bano. Go ahead, take it. That's it. That's all I'm obligated for. It's not. How could Rabbi Kiva need Bala Shor Naki? He has the only claim that he made against Rabbi Eliezer can be used against himself. So, Alo Atzmoi Mishtam Levigofo, if you're the Basin, Mishtam Lecha. Say, bring him to Basin and he'll pay you, meaning that he'll pay you from the goof of that shore. So, I'm Rabbi Shua by Rabbi Yitzchak, Keshekotam, Bala, Vishachato. It's a case where the Balim went ahead and shechted it. Not after the Gemara Din, but even before the Gemara Din. They went and they shechted it before the Gemara Din, so what would you have think? Mao the same Mishtalamino. Let him pay out of the goof of the animal now, right? It's not a Tesser Bano. Kamashvalan, Hol Bar Kataluhu, right? That since he has a death sentence or a death warrant on him, up of the shaft, they will Mishtalamino. Even if he shechts him early, you won't pay out of it. Once the animal has a death sentence, he's cleared out of the picture, and that's what Bala Shor Naki comes to teach us. I would have thought, had I shechted it prior to the Gemara Din, there's no Easter on now, so therefore he should pay out of the Gufa Shor, he should pay the Dmei Eved. And that's what Bala Shor comes to teach you. Bala Shor Naki comes to teach you, you're not chayav the Dmei Eved no matter what. Why? Because the Shor itself has got a death warrant on it, even though it's not also Barnaw now, because they didn't have a Gemara Din. Nevertheless, he's Pazer Mi Dmei Eved, and that's the Kiddush of Bala Shor Naki, according to Rabbi Akiva. Now the obvious question is, if that's the Kiddush of Rabbi Akiva, why didn't Rabbi Akiva help Rabbi Lezer before and say the same thing? Right, the Gemara says, "Yochei l'Rabbi Eliezer." They're now making shakado v'shachato. The Gemara we had yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, where Rabbi Akiva challenged Rabbi Eliezer, who said, "Listen, what are you talking about? Chatzi kofer, right? Why didn't Rabbi Akiva suggest the same case for him, which is kadmo v'shachato? He came and he shechted it before the Gemara did, and let him say, listen, now before the Gemara did, I would have had a havamina. You could pay the chatzi kofer out of the goof now from before, because it's before the Gemara did. Kamash malon, the Bava Shor Naki says, no, you don't pay chatzi kofer at all." How come Rabbi Akiva didn't suggest that for Rabbi Eliezer? So that's what Gemara is asking. Are you asking Rabbi Eliezer Nami? Kishaslam Shachto. Alchanami. Rabbi says, yeah, in Alchanami, Rabbi Akiva could have answered that for Rabbi Eliezer. So why didn't he? But Savar, Dilma Isle, Time Machina, Dodis Mihai. Well, maybe he thought he maybe had a better reason. So he wanted to challenge him to see if he came up with a better reason than Rabbi Akiva's own reasoning. Gemara says, Benemalate. Right? First of all, let him say it at least. Let him say that it's possible, but maybe he has another reason. And number two is, Rabbi Lezer Nami Lishnele. Right? Why does Rabbi Lezer himself give such an answer? It's called the Bishachto. What happened to Rabbi Lezer that he didn't think of this answer? Gemara says, Amalacha Hatam who didn't scavin la rogeta beima. Baragata adam dishur lav barkataluhu. Right? The cloud. In the case where the behema, la rogeta beima, he intended to kill an animal, and he ends up killing a person instead, right? Then there, the shore is not really a bar katalahu. Right, the Takadat Kamina Nichayev, in that case we thought maybe it'll be Chayev, right? Then I say Yitzchak Kraali Meute. Then I need a Potter to come and say he should be Potter. Avahacha, what's our case here? Dimikara Bar Katala Hava, Lotar Kra. Then I don't need a Potter. I've got the Shachte, even if he shechts it. Right, so in our case, there are two different cases. The case over here, what happened? He clearly killed the Eved. There is no questions about it. He went straight for the Eved and he killed him. So we know the shore is a bar katala. So over there, there's no reason to have a meat, even when he shechted early, that he's not considered or classified as a bar katala. There's no reason to believe that you have to pay out of the shore. Right, that's this case. But if a case over there, right, what's the case by Rabbi Eliezer? The case by Rabbi Eliezer is that he intended for a behema, and then he ends up killing a adam. So in that case, I have a half a mina to say what? that the shor should be patur. When he shachto, then he should be patur. So that's the case. If you say the shor la barkatalohu cloud. Right over there, there's no death warrant for the bed. Takadat chamina nechayev. Right, and therefore, I would have thought maybe he should be chayav in that instance. Itzur chalimute. Then I need a pasuk to exclude. Of a halacha in our case over here, the mikara bar katalo. In the first place, he was a bar katalo. Lo tzarech kra. And I don't need a pasuk at all. Dafka al deshachte. Right. So then, right. Why do I need a pasuk at all? Because I'm teaching about shor naki. It's not relevant in this case. Right. So they, Rabbi Kiva, nami vaday hachayavu. But guess what? Rabbi Kiva has that same problem that Rabbi Lezer now is pointing out. The difference between my case before and the case over here, right, there is a clear distinction in the case. So why does Rabbi Kiva even need the Balashur Naki? Ela Amar Avasi, that's not the way to explain Rabbi Kiva over here. How's the way to explain Rabbi Kiva over here? I milsa mipi gaba rabba shmili. I heard this from a great person. Umano, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Tzalka daf chamina ho vama Rabbi Kiva, av tam shechavel ba'adam, mishalayim b'motor nezak shalayim. So what do you know? Rabbi Kiva has an unusual position. What's Rabbi Kiva's position? That a tam that chuvel ba'adam pays nezek shalem. The distinction between tam and mu'ad of chati nezek and nezek shalem is exactly that. Be nezek. When it comes to nezek, a short mu'ad pays nezek shalem. A short tam pays chati nezek. When it comes to be chuvel ba'adam, when it comes to doing damage to a person, remember we saw this in the Mishnah, Machlokas Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva. When a short tam hurts a person, the Chachamim believe kimishpat hazeh yaseh lo. We had an argument between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. What is Mishpat Hazeh? It's Mishpat Hazeh, like the Mishpat of Nezek, where there's a differentiation between Shor and Tam. That's what the Chachamim said. Mishpat Hazeh, Rabbi Kiva says, no, what's the parsha right before? It's talking about a Mu'ad that killed. So Mishpat Hazeh means this is the Mishpat. The Mishpat of a Shor that damages a person is always Mu'ad. He always pays Nezek Shalem. So now what do I have thought? According to Rabbi Kiva, I come along and I do damage over here. For instance, I kill the Eved. If I kill the Eved, what? I'm chayev 30 shekels. So what do you say? Say, I'm not going to pay. Why? Because Tom pays me gufo. Tom pays, whatever he pays, me gufo. But that's not true for Rabbi Kiva. What does Rabbi Kiva say when a shor does damage to a person? Shor that does damage to a person is always a muad. He always pays minha aliyah. He always pays from the estate. If that's the case, he demands, you can make a demand on the person to pay him. Right, so tzaka daf kamin ol v'amar Rabbi Kiva af tam shechav v'adam mishalem b'motor nezek shalem. Pay nezek shalem mishtame nami d'mei eved me'aliyah. He'll pay the d'mei eved from the estate as well because he's a mu'ad. Kotav rachmana balashur neki. That's what the Torah comes to teach you, balashur neki. In a case where he's a tam that killed, the balashur is neki. And he will not pay d'mei eved. He won't pay any, make any payment. Right, because that is what the balashur neki comes to teach you. Even though generally a shor, when he does nezek, so a person is considered a mu'ad and pays min aliyah. That is not true. That's not going to be the case when a tam kills. When a tam kills, he is still going to be paying mi gufo because it's a balashor naki. Whereas the Amar Lei Rabbi Zeir Lo Vasi, well, if you remember the Gemara right after the Mishnah that discussed Machlokes into Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, we said over there it says kishpata zeh yaseh lo. So over there we darshened v'atah tavri Rabbi Kiva l'gzizei. Rabbi Kiva already broke this position. What does that mean? The Tanya, Rabbi Kiva Omer Yocho Yoshalem Min Aliyah. You think that when he says you pay Nezek Shalem when it comes to a Tam that does damage to a person, Tamalomer Kimishpat Hazeh Yatzelo Migufo Mishalem Veinu Mishalem Min Aliyah. That even Rabbi Kiva, when he says you pay full Nezek, when you pay full Nezek by a Tam to a person that he injures, he only pays me Gufo. He only pays me gufo. What's the havamina over here? That when he kills in that time, kills an eved, that he's going to pay me gufo? There is no such, right, meaning that he's going to pay me aliyah? I'm sorry, if he's going to pay me aliyah, there's no such havamina. We know already, even Rabbi Kiva, when he's machmir, to say that a Tom pays full nezek, he only pays me gufo. So why would you have a havamina also that Tom comes and kills an eved, that he should pay me aliyah? Where do you get such a concept from? You're only learning it from the fact that he says mu'ad by chaval ba'adam. So if that mu'ad pays me gufo, so it's over here, she paid me gufo, and she be poser. What's the havamina to say that he should be chayev? El Amar Rava, Rava is now trying to explain the position of Rabbi Kiva Yitzchak. Salcha dat samino mechmiri nei be'eved yoter mi ben chorin. By an eved, it's a chumrah that we have that exists over a free person. What is that? Shepechlin chorin yafet sela notein sela. A ben chorin that's worth a sela, he pays a sela for. Shloshim notein shloshim. He's worth 30, he pays 30. But an Eved is only worth a Sela? No, saying Shloshim, he pays 30. Right? He's going to have to overpay for the Eved. So there's a chumra by an Eved that is Yoter mi ben Chorim. So what would I have thought? This chumra that comes about an Eved that you pay in excess of his value. Even if he's only worth a sell, he still pays Shloshim. So if I'm paying in excess of his value, maybe there's also an additional chumra, which is what? Additional chumra that I would also be paying in ha'aliyah, not mi gufo. And then what does it come along? So kata rachmana, balashor naki. Balashor naki comes to teach me that, no, he's patur, meaning that he still pays me gufo here. Pays me gufo, this may have, it'll be patur. Right, the obvious question, which is, right? The obvious question that Shloshim Shalavit can also be lakula. I mean, that Shloshim Shalavit works as what the Eved is worth. When the Eved is worth a sella, then you pay 30. But when the Eved is worth 100, right, you still pay 30. So what type of chumra is this? Right, so that's the question as well. What type of chumra is this? So if you look, in Tosfos, he says, Eved yachid notein lamed, v'afgol d'shevet kuf, enotein elo shloshim, mimekol makom, this is what Tosfos says, kemen shenotein kitzvah shloshim, take the fixed amount of 30, afabin shen shavel, a sella yu yoter. Doesn't matter, even if he's worth less or more, since he pays a fixed amount, shal olam kitzvah omedet. And my thought would be that when you pay a fixed amount, it's always there. If it's always there, what does that mean? And also pay me now the aliyah. If you're going to maintain, if shloshim is so steady, it's so fixed in place that no matter whether he's worth less or more, it stays in place, I would think that in order to preserve or maintain that 30 shal evet, that means even pay me an aliyah to preserve it. That's the idea. Not necessarily in terms of that chumra kula, more or less, but the idea that the payment is irrespective of what the value is, and in that case, it sounds like we're trying to preserve the payment no matter what. Preserving the payment no matter what, it should pay me an aliyah, not be gufo, because that would also preserve the payment. But then comes along, Baal HaShur Naki, to teach me, no, me gufo, and we do not preserve the payment in this instance. Alright, so now, the Gemara continues. Tanya, Kavad Zidarava, we have a price that supports this position of Rava. Baal HaShur Naki, alright, Baal HaShur Naki, what does it mean about HaShur Naki? Rabbi Kiva Omer Naki means Mei Eved. What does it mean, Naki means Eved? Alo Zidu, Ho, B'chaya Be'eved, B'chaya Be'ben Chorim. When it comes to Ben Chorim, you divide between Tam and Muad. Maybe we should also make such a distinction by an Eved. What about a Kavachomer? By a Ben Chorim, you paid his full value and you differentiated between Tam and Muad. Eved, where he pays only 30, and it's Nachlof Bo Ben Tam and Muad. Just based on your question, Svi, right? Meaning that there's a kula side to Eved. Lo, he says, no. Machmir eni be'eved, yoter mi ben chorin. No, there is a chumra by Eved from ben chorin. That's what I'm going to learn from. She ben chorin yachas sela notein sela. Shloshim notein shloshim. He's worth one, he pays one. He's worth 30, he pays 30. Eved yachas sela notein shloshim. So that means what? I would have a chumra by Eved, and I would think your chayav for shloshim shall Eved even by a short time. Yachol yei chayav, I would think you're chayav for an Eved that was killed by a short time, shloshim shekel, shloshim sela, tam lomar, balashor naki, naki means may Eved. So I explained the price of Rabbi Kiva for the way Rabbi just explained it, which is the half meaning of Rabbi Kiva is because the may Eved should survive because of its, right, it doesn't view what the value of what was killed here, it's irrelevant what the value of the killing was here, it's always shloshim. So that was that always shloshim means even by a short time. Always shloshim. And how would I pay shloshim by a short time to pay me an aliyah? Comes along the pub and says, Balashur Naki according to Rikiva, which says, I am patur mi tmei eved. That's what comes to teachers according to Rikiva. Right, Tanra Balan. Ve'emit ish o isha. Right, so the pasuk says that the shor kills an ish o isha. What's the issue here that I need to know that he kills a ish o isha? Right, what additional am I learning from this? By Shor Muad, right? It says, "In Shor Nagachum Mitzmos Shoshom, Muad Bifalav Lo Yishmenu VeMit Ish O Isha Shor Yisakel." God bless you, Muad. Why do we need a pasuk to teach me about Ish and Isha? And we give a chimad zelo amdeinu im lechayev al Isha ki Ish. It equates between Isha and Ish. Arik Barner Mar Higak Short Ish O Et Isha. Right, I already have a pasuk that teaches me in the beginning by Tam. It says, beginning of the pasuk Chavtet says Higak Short Et Ish. Oh, Isha. So why do I need again to repeat by Muad, Isha, Isha? Right? Why do I need both of them to be repeated? Now it's twice it says Isha, Isha. So what I said must be, Alahakish Isha Ish, to equate a woman to a man. Ma Ish Nizakav Liyorsha. Just like a man, all the damage that happens to him goes to his inheritors. Akisha Nizakav Liyorsha. So to a woman, any payments that go to her for Nesek that's done to her, go to her, right? Her Yorshim. Now, just in general, what do we have? A general principle. A wife, who's the first one to inherit the wife? The Baal, right? The husband. Not her Yoshim, not the inheritors, I mean inheritors besides her husband. It's her husband itself that inherits. Whereas with the husband, the first one to inherit him is the actual Yoshim. The woman is entitled to her ketubah out of that money or amount that goes to the Yoshim. But nevertheless, the people who inherit him are Yoshim. So one part of the statement makes sense to us, which is that Ish, whatever nezek he gets, he's dead now because the shore killed him. So who does it go to? It goes to his Yoshim. The kofar is pouring out to his Yoshim. By a woman, the woman's dead now. Who should the kofar be paid to? The kofar should be paid to the husband who is the first inheritor of his wife. Yet you say we were making the shot to Ish, that it goes down to her inheritors and not to the husband. That's what Mark's going to ask right now. But Savi Rabbi Akiva lo Yorid Labal. What happened to the husband here? How did he drop out of the picture over here? Vatan, you have a price of Rabbi Rashi Tzah. Mikan Shafal Yorishis Ishto. Give Rabbi Akiva. We have Rabbi Akiva explicitly saying that a woman, right, the first inheritor of a woman is her husband. What happened over here? Amarish Lakish Lo Amar Elab Kofar. It's unique to the case of Kofar. Why is it unique to the case of Kofar? Hold the Mishnah and Elalachar Mitzav and Leiker Ra'ui. There's a concept in inheritance that what's called Ra'ui and Mukhzak. Right, there's different concepts in inheritance. Right, inheritance can come mean that it already came to you. There's a payment that I'm owed, and you've already collected on it. When you've already collected on it, that goes to your nearest inheritor. Who's the nearest inheritor? That is the husband. On the other hand, there's something called ra'ui. Ra'ui is something that is owed to the woman, right? But it's not, she's not in possession of it. When she dies, she's not in possession of it. She's not in possession of it. The husband is not entitled to inherit ra'ui kimechudak, which means that something that the woman's entitled to collect, but she has yet to collect, the husband will not get a piece of that action. That does go down to her yoshim automatically. And kofar is exactly that case. Why? When is kofar paid? Kofar is paid only after the woman's dead. You don't pay kofar until the woman's dead. If the woman's not dead, there's no chiyuv kofar. So until the woman dies, there's no chiyuv kofar. If it's after the woman's dead already, and now there's kofar, that's what we call ra'oi. Why? Because she could never be machzik in the kofar. Because she never was alive when the kofar is paid, and therefore she never brought it into her possession. In that case, the husband does not inherit such money. All it goes down to her yoshim, and that's what's unique about this case.
But this, the concept of ra'oi could apply to any debt as well.
To any other, right. So that's a good question. We'll see that in a second. Very good. So, Amar Eishlev Shlom, Amar Lev Kofar, Obey Mishtal, Melachar Mitzav, Alei Ra'oi, Be'ena Ba'al Hotel, Ba'oi Kumazak. So my time, because Amar Kra, right, what's the reason over here? So why over here do we say such a thing? Amar Kra, Ve'emit Ish, O'isha. Right, that's Shor Yisakel, right, Ba'al Ba'alav Yumad, Im Kofar Yisha Talav. Right, so what's the reasoning over here? It says, Ve'emit Ish, O'isha, you kill the Ish, O'isha, when does the Kofar get paid? When the Shor is Yisakel. When is the Shor Yisakel? Shor going Yisakel when the Ish O'isha gets killed. And then, Gambala Bimat and Kofar Yishatalav. Then the Kofar is only paid, right, when the Shor is dead. The Shor is only dead, right, after the woman is dead. So it's clear that the payment only comes after the death of the woman. And now they ask these questions. Over Nizakin Lo. Right, Below my Rabbi Kiva. Wait a minute. By Nizakin, that's not true either. Rabbi Kiva doesn't say such a thing. Ba'atanya. In a case where they hit the woman, right, and the woman then miscarries, right, now you have the mezel adot. Okay, nezek v'tzar the isha. The nezek and the tzar go to the isha, but the mezel adot, the baal. And the mezel adot go to the husband. So now what we see is the damage is done to a woman, and it goes to the husband. Alright, now the husband's alive, so maybe nothing to talk about. So now look at the next line. Ain't a baal. If the Baal is not there, notain the Yorsha. You give it to the inheritors of the Baal. Any Aisha, the woman's not there, notain et le Yorsha. Where does it go? It goes to her inheritors. Wait a minute. That's exactly the case that we just described before. The woman's out of the picture, and when the woman's out of the picture, where does the stuff go? So we just said before, only Kofar. Kofar is a new case where it's only paid after her death. So since it's only paid after her death, it goes to her Yorshim and not to the husband. Over here, Nizukin are paid even during her lifetime. She can collect them in Nizukin during her lifetime. So how come over here, all of a sudden, we say that the Dmei, whatever, the Dmei Bazo go to the husband, but the Nezek and the Tzar go to the woman, and the woman's not there, who do they go to? They go to her inheritors. What's going on over here? Exactly what you're asking, Svi. You can come up with a case of Raik Mukhzak, right? Even a case when it's not talking about Kofar. And what do we see? The Rebbe Kiva agrees in that case. And also another case, Aisha Shibcha Vinishtachara, Giyoret. So if the case is the woman was a shibcha v'nishtachara, and she was a maidservant that was free, and then married an eved kanani that was mishukhrar, so they have no relatives. Why? Because they are converts. Same thing with a gioret. A gioret that converts, right? And a married a gior that converted. They are kitsino shnolazami, and they have no relatives. Therefore, when they die, who acquires what they have? It's hefker. If it's hefker, the kolakodim dokaba, right? Whoever's first gets it. Who's the first person holding the money? The person that owes them the money. This guy owes money to this woman, or owes money to the husband. In either case, he's holding the money right now. So as soon as they die, he becomes hefker, and he's the first one to take possession of the money. That's the case here. Aita shibonish takara, ogiorit zacha. Then he gets it, right? No matter what. So amarabo bigrusha. The case here is a case of a grusha. No problem. Why is her Yoshea getting it by Nizakim? Because she is divorced. She's divorced. The husband no longer has any entitlement to the money. So if she's a grusha, right, which the Gemara is going to ask, v'henamar Rav Nachman grusha. So Amre, we say by grusha. So now the Gemara is going to ask, grusha nami tiflug v'tmei gladot. Wait a minute. If you're talking about a grusha, right, what are you going to do about a grusha? A grusha, then she should also have a portion of the tmei gladot. Meaning that even they're married, you can say that the husband owns the tmei gladot because he owns both the child that comes out of this marriage is going to be his. But in a divorce, that is not the case necessarily. They're really going to have a joint ownership over the baby because now the woman has independent ownership from her husband. So why should it be that tmei gladot only go to the, right, only go to the husband? So if you're saying the whole case is a grusha, and that's why the woman, when she collects on her nezek and sar, goes to her relatives, down to her, the husband, then why by the tmei gladot? Does it only go to the husband? It should also go to the woman. So Amar Papa, Torah zachta tmei gladot abal, akilu ba'aleha biznut. That when it comes to the Torah, it says that the tmei gladot always belongs to the man, even if the tmei gladot, even if the gladot are private of znut. They always belong to the husband. My taima, what's the reason? Amar Kura, the pasuk says, kasher yashit alav bal ha'isha. Right, that even when they're the pasuk terms it as bal ha'isha, the word bo'el or ba'al. So kasher alav, the payment that is made for the gladot, bal ha'isha, goes to the one who is bo'el the isha. Meaning that whoever created the children, whichever man created those children, or those made gladot, he's the one who receives the payment for, right, the gladot over here. Now, what's the case, or what do we have over here? We have a case which we started out, Kemit Ish O Isha, by the Pasuk in Mishpatim, we have a Kamen and Mu'ad. In both cases it says, Kemit Ish O Isha. What's the necessity to have Kemit Ish O Isha twice? As Rabbi Kiva says, to teach us a din. What din is it coming to teach us? That Ish on Ish, just like in the case of Ish, whatever he gets, goes to his Yorshim, right, not his wife. Then, also by a woman, whatever she inherits over here, whatever she gets payment for, will go to her relative and not to her husband. What's the case? The case is a case of kofar. Wait a minute. In general, who's the first inheritor of a woman? Her husband. So I said, no, it's unique to the case of kofar. What's unique about the case of kofar? You can say, kofar is kofar going paid after the woman's dead. When the woman's dead, we have a principle by a husband. Husband is only entitled to inherit his wife with things that were there. Her, she owned them and were muktzah. She held them in possession when before she died. Some that she gets after she's dead, meaning that things that she's entitled to payment after she's dead, the husband has no entitlement to. That's why by kofar. Kofar is only paid after death, as we saw from the pasuk. Because the pasuk says, only when the shore is in sekel, when the shore gets stoned, do you get paid kofar. And the stones are only stones when the woman is dead. So the woman has to die before the shore is stoned. When the shore is stoned, that's when you pay kofar. So we know it only is paid after death. Tzvi asked the obvious question, wait a minute, I can come up with other cases and bro, you can muktzah. Why do you mean, why is kofar this unique case? We can come up with other cases, and we have a case. We brought down a price of a Rabbi Kiva by Nizakin. By a case where a woman, right, has get her tmei gladot are knocked out and she was damaged. We say that the nezek and sarah goes to the woman, the tmei gladot go to the husband. So then we say, what happens if the woman's not there? If the woman's not there, who does the nezek and sarah go to? According to Rabbi Kiva's principle, she go to the husband, because it's unique to kofar. Yet we say there it still goes to the yorshim. How come? That's the Gemara answers up. No problem. We're talking about a grusha. Isha grusha. That's why the husband has no entitlement to the nezek and sar because they are divorced. That's why, of course, it's case with her yorshim. It's going to come to the husband. Might say, wait a minute. If you're talking about case where they're divorced, then you have to make vladot also. Why is the make vladot only going to the husband? It should be jointly owned by the wife and husband. It's true, when they're married, then the male has double down to the husband because he's the only ownership in the marriage. And his wife owns the okon, so it's not, it's made by adult, there's no reason to split. But when they're divorced, then the made by adult should be along to them equally. Mar says, no, that's not the case. Why? The made by adults are a unique circumstance. What's a unique circumstance about the made by adult? They always belong to the boel. They always belong to the husband or to the one who created the made by adult. Even in a case where it's nut, even in a case where he's not married to her, even in a case where he wasn't a husband when they created the made by adult, the made by adult always belong to the man. Because the pasuk formulates it as kasher yashit alav baal ha'isha, the one who is the boel, he's the one who always collects the tzmei v'ledot over here. All right, we'll stop here. The Gemara's going to ask another question on it, but we'll stop over here.